It's Monday, December 21st. It's Europe's nightmare before Christmas. Could it be ours too? We start here. It was already going to be the darkest day of the year, then this started happening.
The new strain was out of control.
What you should know about a new strain of coronavirus that has prompted new lockdowns. We have a deal.
Every American who got a stimulus check in the first round, you should be eligible again.
Months after the cash dried up, Democrats and Republicans say they've reached an agreement on a relief package. And the only people telling President Trump to press on are the folks he's already fired.
Though Rudy was not present in the Oval Office Friday night, he actually was on the phone and told the president the plan that the two were pitching was a bad idea.
Why staffers were so worried about General Michael Flynn walking back through the door. From ABC News, this is Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
For a week now, FedEx and UPS trucks have been crisscrossing the country with a federally authorized COVID vaccine. As of yesterday, you could add a second one to the mix.
And there it goes right there, the first truck leaving the facility. You have U.S. Marshals escorting it. The Moderna vaccine is now on its way.
Moderna's first shipment of coronavirus vaccine left Olive Branch, Mississippi, yesterday in a truck. Today, it is on its way to hospitals and hubs across the country, which made lots of Americans breathe a sigh of relief until they heard this.
Overseas now to England, where 20 million people are facing a severe Christmas lockdown because of a new strain of the disease.
This morning, also, Belgium and the Netherlands banning all flights from the UK. Other EU countries potentially following suit.
Now, we've seen places implement travel restrictions because their case counts were getting too high. They're worried about holiday surges of COVID. That is not this. The reason these countries say they are shutting out British travelers right now is because Britain is home to a different version of the virus itself. One that, if you believe it, could be even more dangerous. Let's bring in reporters who've been covering this from different sides of the Atlantic. ABC's foreign correspondent James Longman is in London, and our chief medical correspondent, Dr. Jennifer Ashton, is here in New York. James, what is happening in the UK this morning?
Well, Brad, I mean, I think the science is out on just what this new variant or strain means, but politicians are certainly in panic mode.
This virus, the new strain, was out of control. We've got to get it under control. And the way that we can do that, the only way you can do that, is by restricting social contact.
And what we're basically seeing or hearing from our politicians here in Britain is that a new variant, they're describing it, of coronavirus has been discovered in London, where I live, and parts of the southeast of England. And for that reason, essentially, they have cancelled Christmas here.
And essentially, especially in tier four areas, everybody needs to behave as if they might well have the virus. And
all travel across the United Kingdom has essentially been cancelled. There were plans to allow people to travel for a 5-day period that is now off, and they've come up with a new tier. There was tier one, tier two, and tier three. Tier three being the most serious, they've now come up with tier four, which is essentially the same as the national lockdown that we saw over the summer.
People should not enter or leave tier four areas, and tier four residents must not stay overnight away from home. Individuals can only meet one person from another household in an outdoor public space.
And we're now seeing Europe, one by one, countries across the continent, banning Brits from travelling to those countries. The list is growing by the hour, and countries further outside of Europe are also joining suit. It's difficult to overstate just how serious this is and unprecedented. France, our closest neighbour, is banning not just people, not just travellers, but any goods by land, sea, air or rail. That means freight. Wow. A fifth of our trade goes to France, and they have banned all travel to France for the next 48 hours until they can get a handle on just what this means.
There's no evidence that it causes more severe illness or higher mortality, but it does appear to be passed on significantly more easily.
I think everyone in Britain now is very concerned to see just what happens next. We've been told repeatedly that this particular strain of the virus isn't necessarily any more deadly, but you know, a lot of British people just don't know what to believe. It's a scary time.
Well, and with that, let's go to Dr. Jennifer Ashton, because Dr. Ashton, we've heard that, yeah, maybe not more deadly, but that this strain of the virus can be up to 70% more contagious than the coronavirus we know. I mean, what is this thing?
Well, first of all, Brad, I think we have to take that from the messenger from whence it came. That did not come from the World Health Organization or from the scientific community. It came from the political community. But some context here. The headline behind the headline, if you will, is that we have to remember viruses mutate for a living. We've known this. We've seen this with many other viruses, and we've seen it with this virus, SARS-CoV-2. It has demonstrated a second strain. The first strain, the so-called D strain, was the one that originated in China. And then very quickly, there was the identification of a G strain that spread through Europe and the United States. But we should not be surprised that there is this variant. British scientists identified this in mid-September. It's also been identified in Australia, Denmark, and the Netherlands. And we have to remember, the headline sounds scary. Certainly the reactions in terms of travel and trade that James mentioned sound shocking. But, right. You know, in terms of the science of this, there's no evidence at this point that it's become more lethal, maybe more transmissible, but that's why we have to double down on these other measures.
But that's what I'm kind of wondering is are you getting a sense of why they are taking such dire precautions here?
Well, yeah, I think that from a scientific standpoint, we have to remember that as the vaccine starts to be rolled out, we've heard Dr. Anthony Fauci say 75, 80% of a population to be vaccinated before we can begin to see a decrease in rates and cases. That hasn't happened yet.
If it wasn't necessary, I don't think they would do it, believe me. So what can we do?
Whatever the reason, these steps that are being taken across Western Europe are because at the end of the day, the rates are the rates, and that is what's generating this response.
I think that we also have to take into consideration there's probably a certain amount of politicking going on here too.
Well, one of the reasons that we brought in very strict travel restrictions saying you shouldn't leave a tier four area, you should stay at home, is to try to prevent this from spreading across the rest of the country and indeed to other parts of the world that don't already have it.
I mean, certainly in Britain, a lot of people here believe that the government was very slow to act at the beginning back in March. So now it needs to seem to the population that they're doing the best they can. They're ahead of the curve.
But so like James, you're saying almost like, you know, they're scared of a surge anyway. So you might like locking down would probably be a lot of scientists' recommendation anyway. So let's certainly lock down now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, rates have been rocketing ever since the end of the summer. People came back from their summer vacations, and there's been this kind of whack-a-mole strategy the government has put into place. One minute it's one policy, the next minute it's another, and there's been a lot of criticism.
They should have had this under control. And just a couple of days before Christmas, they're doing this. This is crazy.
When the science changes, we must change our response. When the virus changes its method of attack, we must change our method of defense.
And actually, it is all the more infuriating for many people because he was asked these questions directly a week ago, whether or not he would cancel Christmas, and he said that would be inhuman.
Wow.
So, I mean, it does seem to many British people that policy has been made on the hoof. So I think part of this is wanting to seem like they're on the front foot. Finally, they can just draw a line and say, look, we're locking down until we can get the virus completely under control. And they're just hoping that people, you know, see this as them kind of, I suppose, taking the initiative in a way that they didn't in March.
But so, James, you talked about let's wait till everyone gets vaccinated. Jen, we've talked about how the vaccine is the light at the end of the tunnel here, right? But does this vaccine work against this new version of COVID-19, or are we just going back to square one?
Well, that's the scientific question. And right now in the world of virology and infectious disease, the scientists studying this evolution and these new strains, the new variants, think that right now, yes, there's been very little change to the spike protein region so that vaccines should still be effective. Mm. But we have to remember, vaccine surveillance and that durability will continue just like it does for, let's say, the influenza virus. And while we need a new vaccine every year for that, that is certainly possible for this SARS-CoV-2 virus, but we don't know, and no one has a crystal ball when it comes to that. The other important thing, just to dovetail off James's comment about how the UK responds versus the US responds, even though we're just separated by about 5 hours of Atlantic, what they do is not exactly the same as what we do. We saw the UK take much more conservative reaction to the possibility of allergic reactions with the vaccine, recommending that anyone who's had any kind of allergic reaction that's severe in the past not get it. That's not what the U.S. FDA has said. So we have to pay attention to what's going on in Europe, but we also have to do so with a realization that it's not apples to apples when you compare the two.
In the meantime, the kind of speed and the ferocity of these decisions about travel in and out of the UK, reminding you very much of Wuhan, China in January and February earlier this year. Just now it's 11 months later. Dr. Jennifer Ashton in New York, James Longman in London. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks so much, Brad.
Next up on Start Here, it all came down to issues like state funds and corporate loans. Forget that. How big is your check going to be? Breaking down the new COVID relief bill after the break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you would do with an extra hour in your day? I think about this all the time. I'm like, I would be so productive. I'd exercise more, or I'd read a book, or I'd take a nap, like restore myself. We often find ourselves yearning for these extra hours, but the real question is, what would you do if you were making yourself a priority? Well, how about therapy? It can help you discover what's important so you can make the most of your time. If you've ever benefited from therapy, you know how transformative it can be. It's not just for those who have experienced major trauma. Therapy empowers you to learn positive coping skills, set boundaries, and become the best version of yourself. If you're considering starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and tailored to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. You'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And here's the beauty of it. You can switch therapists if you're not finding the right fit. No additional charge. Take the first step. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/start here today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/start here. With daylight saving time upon us, we're looking forward to more daylight and longer days from March through November. And while setting our clocks forward gives us the illusion of more time, it doesn't necessarily help businesses find qualified candidates any sooner. Fear not, there is a solution. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is your 24/7 hiring partner working tirelessly to connect you with the right candidate. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets distributed to over 100 job sites, ensuring you reach a diverse pool of qualified individuals. Their smart technology scans thousands of resumes, matching you with people whose skills perfectly align with your job requirements. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/start here. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/start here. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So a lot of Americans have felt like without a vaccine, they can't go out safely. The problem is without economic relief, they can't really stay in easily either. Well, last night, after half a year of bickering and brokering and balking at each other, leaders of Congress said, we've got a deal on a relief package for Americans.
We can finally report what our nation has needed to hear for a very long time. More help is on the way.
Now, this is still in motion this morning. The House still has to pass this bill today, then it heads to the Senate, but this looks like it's happening.
It is a strong shot in the arm to help American families weather the storm.
ABC's lead Capitol Hill producer, Trish Turner, is with us. And Trish, it took only, what, like 9 months, and only that after like some last-minute really technical machinations. Let's skip all that. Brass tacks, what's in this deal? Like, what should the average American expect that could impact them once this is signed?
So every American who got a stimulus check in the first round, you should be eligible again.
Our purpose has always been to crush the virus, to put money in the pockets of the American people, which we do in this legislation.
All of those qualifying income levels, like if you have $75,000 or less, you make that much, you're going to get a check again. Hmm. Up to $99,000, you know, the scale of that check gets smaller. And then this time around, rather than $500 a child, you're getting $600. Easy to think of, family of four, you're going to get roughly $2,400.
So at the particular request and emphasis of President Trump and his administration, our agreement will provide another round of direct impact payments to help households make ends meet and continue our economic recovery.
The Washington Post said at one point the president jumped in the middle of these negotiations and was pushing for $2,000 checks. And Republicans just, that's not going to fly. But, you know, for the longest time, we thought checks weren't even going to be in this.
It is comical that suddenly our Republican friends once again discover that we have a deficit.
But a very far left Bernie Sanders, very far right Josh Hawley, these guys teamed up and they said, look, we're stopping everything down unless checks are in this deal.
We should celebrate that victory, not on our own behalf, but for the many people in this nation who desperately need it. And who until just a few days ago could expect nothing at all in the way of direct assistance from this body.
And so not $1,200 checks like the first time around, but these are $600. But, you know, a family of four, again, does walk away with $2,400.
885,000 Americans filing for unemployment within the last week.
I'm behind about $6,000 in bills. It's not our fault that we can't work.
And then there's $300 a week for 10 weeks, federal boosted unemployment insurance. There's $325 billion to help small businesses. That's a second round of PPP funding, loans for a lot of people. That includes restaurants. They're not getting the big pot of grant money that they were seeking, but it will be helpful. More lenient loans, we're told, that the ability to turn them from a loan to a grant is going to be more flexible.
We will not be open until June or July at the earliest. Zero income.
Really important, $15 billion for the live venue industry. They've been struggling mightily, some of the hardest hit.
In other words, we have no inventory until artists begin to tour again.
So this was really important. They'd been seeking $17 billion. And then, you know, just billions for vaccine distribution, for education, and then super important, the eviction moratorium that so many Americans were faced with that would have been December 31st. They are getting that extended by several months. In this bill.
For the first time ever during this pandemic, Congress will provide $25 billion in direct rental assistance to help reduce the burden on Americans who have fallen behind on the rent.
That $600 stimulus check, lower than the median rent across the country. The average one bedroom goes for roughly $1,200.
These are not stimulus checks. They're stimulating nothing. These are survival checks.
$600 is nothing. It's like a slap in our face.
I gotta wonder, Trish, like, is it enough? Like, after 9 months, does this actually undo anything for someone whose business is failing or whose savings have just, like, fallen through their fingers like sand? Like, does this bill have the same power that it would have in, whatever, April or May?
No, I will tell you one thing, that the fact that they're doing it now, I've been told by multiple experts, in this area, that it's far better to do it now. It will cost you far more if they had, you know, really gridlocked, not been able to pass anything, and we would have been trying again. They would have been in a Biden administration several months from now. It costs a lot more. So there's that.
I'm proud of the legislation. It's a first step. We need to do more.
I am very optimistic that we can get a lot more done in a Senate, certainly if there's a Democratic majority, but even if a Republican majority remains.
All eyes really point back again to the two elections in Georgia right now that will determine who controls the Senate. And that has a lot to do with what the next package is going to look like.
Yeah, it's been like this intractable with this calculus. Imagine if the calculus changes in January and what kind of new delays that could create. In the meantime, Trish Turner, covering Washington that is finally moving a little bit. Thanks, Trish.
Thanks, Brad.
We are now less than a month away from the inauguration of Joe Biden as America's 46th president. Everyone in Washington seems to understand this, and yet you've got big chunks of the country that are still absolutely convinced that on that day, President Trump will be starting his second term instead. In fact, we saw reports even last week that on betting sites, you know, you could bet on who would win the 2020 election, there are still bets coming in on President Trump a month and a half later. The sites aren't sure whether it's even ethical to take these bets because people are just throwing their money away. They're that convinced, though, that this is what's about to happen. Well, on Friday night, according to multiple sources, President Trump took a meeting with two people you might have thought were in his rearview mirror, and people in Washington today are concerned with what they may have told him. ABC's John Santucci covers the White House. John, what was this meeting anyway?
This was a last-minute meeting, Brad. It happened in the Oval Office Friday night. President Trump had two people that many in the White House were stunned to actually see president accounted for.
The Dominion operators went in and injected votes and changed the whole system. And
the first was Sidney Powell. She was a member of the president's legal team, extremely controversial.
Globalists, dictators, corporations, you name it, everybody's against us except President Trump and we the people of the United States of America.
You spoke of unleashing the Kraken.
The president and his team had to actually disavow her at one point for comments she made about local and state officials in her efforts to overturn the election for the president.
And this is what you tweeted back in December 2017. I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. Yeah. Do you still believe that he lied to the vice president and the FBI?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, sure. When I looked at what they did to him, they tormented him, dirty cups. Tormented General Flynn.
And the other General person, Flynn, Brad, was someone that was fired in the Oval Office almost 4 years ago, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, the former National Security Advisor President Trump pardoned earlier this year. And the two of them, Brad, got into a hot, heated screaming match with Mark Meadows, Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel, and others in their efforts to try to convince others that this is still ongoing. There's still a path for Donald Trump to have a second term that would start on January 21st. Now, everyone apparently disagreed to the point that Meadows and Cipollone were screaming back at Powell, give us your proof, tell us how this is possible, give us some evidence. Powell yelling at one point, you're all a bunch of quitters. I mean, Brad, I have to tell you, I've covered this president for 6 years. I've covered this White House for all four. I have never spoken to people that were so shaken up about a meeting in this White House. And if that doesn't tell you something, Brad, that's pretty much it.
Well, yeah, wait, so like when Michael Flynn, we've been told he brings up the idea of martial law, John, like, is he serious? And I guess more importantly, is he being taken seriously by the commander in chief?
Well, listen, Brad, again, he was invited to the Oval Office by this commander in chief. Michael Flynn has been on television. We know this president, if you want to get a direct line to him, it's just popping up somewhere on cable news.
He could order within the swing states, if he wanted to, he could take military capabilities and he could place them in those states and basically rerun an election in each of those states. I mean, it's not unprecedented. I mean,
Flynn has been a frequent guest on Fox and Newsmax, which has been a new favorite as of late of President Trump's, saying that President Trump should declare martial law, declare a redo in certain states around the country to see if that would overturn the election.
Martial law has been instituted 64 times, Greg. So I'm not calling for that. We have a constitutional process.
Now, many in the building were stunned that Flynn was saying this to the president. The president, at one point, throwing out ideas of naming Sidney Powell as a special counsel to look into all of this. But at the end, it sounds like from our sources, Brad, between Mark Meadows and the White House counsel and other outside advisors and lawyers to the president, they talked him away
from
this plan.
Which is wild, John, because Sidney Powell has essentially been fired from, like, her job, or, like, the Trump campaign wanted nothing to do with her.
She was was fired from the Trump campaign. She was disavowed by everybody.
The president's campaign now abruptly cutting ties with one of its key attorneys, Sidney Powell, after she attacked Georgia's Republican governor, falsely claiming he was part of an election conspiracy.
Rudy Giuliani came out and issued a statement terminating her from the group. Remember, she was a part of that bizarro press conference Rudy gave just weeks ago at the Republican National Convention defending their efforts, but Giuliani kicked her off. I'm told by my sources that though Rudy was not present in the Oval Office Friday night, he actually was on the phone and told the president the plan that the two were pitching was a bad idea.
Right. The president tweeted, martial law equals fake news. Didn't really expand on what that meant. But overnight, you and your team just confirmed that Sidney Powell showed up at the White House again last night and again pushing this idea that the president should seize voting machines. So clearly she's got his ear. John Santucci in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
And one last thing. We've talked about industries that have seen huge surges during this pandemic. One of the most lucrative has been gaming. So what happens when the most anticipated product of the year takes a dive the week before Christmas?
So Cyberpunk 2077 is sort of like I would call a futuristic Grand Theft Auto of sorts.
That is Brittany Vincent. She's a gaming journalist who's been following this game called Cyberpunk 2077 since it was announced 8 years ago, complete with one of the biggest rollouts you've ever seen.
In 2077, they voted my city the worst place to live in America.
There's an anime coming out. There's a comic book series. There's been collaborations with so many different places. There's gaming chairs, you know, all kinds of different items that were sold as, you know, trying to bank this as the next big thing.
Think of it like Grand Theft Auto, but with just way more advancements, way more star power, especially the main character.
You're wasting your lives following us around like dogs.
His name is Johnny Silverhand. He's played by Keanu Reeves.
Wait, Keanu Reeves is the voice?
Yes, he's actually his motion capture, everything. Everything about Johnny Silverhand is Keanu.
In 2077, what makes someone a criminal?
But somewhere along the way, Brittany's coverage of this game turned into her chronicling one of the decade's biggest busts.
It kept getting hit with delays. Just delay.
The gameplay you're about to see is from a work-in-progress version of the game.
Well, all of a sudden, it's holiday shopping season. There's still no game. And the company behind it, CD Projekt Red, puts it on sale. And gamers immediately say, this? This is what we've been waiting for?
So when the game first launched, you know, people were understandably upset.
I literally cannot pull out my gun.
They were dealing with bugs and unplayability issues.
I'm stuck.
What is this bug?
So heavily modified that his eyeballs come out of his face.
I mean, it seems CD Projekt Red didn't really do much of anything about it.
The game maker apologized for the glitches, but it did not address the real question. If you just spent a ton of money on a buggy game, should you get your money back? This question has always plagued the gaming world. Because you don't get your money back if you don't like a movie, but a bug can render a video game physically unplayable.
I can't shoot. Hello?
Well, for the first time in recent history, Hello? The folks that make video game consoles, Help. They decided if you hate this game, you Help. Can return it. No questions asked.
It actually happened that Sony kind of was the first one to announce that the game was going to be removed entirely from the PlayStation Store, which is really unheard of in my experience, and would be issuing refunds. Xbox kind of followed suit with that just recently, and so did Best Buy. And CD Projekt Red ultimately issued a blanket apology, letting everyone know that they would be able to get a refund out of their own pocket if needed.
Brittany says what's really going through the minds of Sony and Xbox is, if we enforce our no returns policy, people aren't going to be mad at video game programmers. They're going to be mad at us. So here on Christmas week, in one of the biggest years in the history of gaming, the entire industry has been, well, cyberpunked. I don't know, maybe the name was a warning sign all these years. Okay, so if you bought the game for yourself, or better yet, if you just bought it for the gamer in your life and you're kind of clueless about this, CD Projekt Red is telling gamers, if you're having trouble getting a refund, tell us by December 21st. That's today. They're saying just email us quickly and we'll try to help you out. More on all these stories at abcnews.com or the ABC News app. I'm Brad Milkey. See you tomorrow.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.